Today on Life Talk.
Life has dealt some heavy blows, some major hurts. And this person that used to have a skip in their step and a gleam in their eye and a smile on their face, now they're walking around with pains that can't seem to get fixed. And because of the pain in their life, they're reaching out to different things to satisfy or to numb the pain. But there is no fix unless it is fixed by the one who made you in the first place.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
You know, one of the things Isaiah prophesied about the Lord Jesus is that he would be very gentle with those that are hurting, with those that are down and out, with those that are broken and shattered, that Jesus would not come along and crush them or put what remained of their flame out, but that he would encourage them, heal them, raise them back up, breathe fresh life into them, and get them back on the road of righteousness. And so we're going to talk today about what Isaiah prophesied regarding Jesus, that a bruised reed he would not break. And maybe right now you feel bruised, you feel broken and shattered, and you're wondering, is God still with me? Does he love me? Even though I've made some terrible mistakes. And our message to you today is absolutely, and he will not put you down. He will not take you out, but he will raise you back up and breathe fresh life and vision into you. So let's right now go to the message entitled, Hanging by a Thread.
Jesus will deal with people who are on the edge. Ever been on the edge? Some of you are on the edge right now, but I've sure been on the edge many times. And he says, let me tell you how the Father is showing me the Messiah is going to deal with people who are on the edge, who are on the edge of life, who are on the edge of things, who are barely hanging on. How's he going to deal with them? He says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he's not going to snuff out. Now, let me tell you what that means. This jumped out at me, this verse, these beautiful verses, because it describes a gentle Jesus. A gentle Jesus, a merciful Messiah, a loving Lord regarding hurting people. How many of you have hurt bad in your life? Don't we live in a hurting world? Man, you can't read the news without realizing that our world is one great big festering hurting wound. But I got good news for our world. If they want the good news, Jesus Christ died for hurting people. He died for hurt people. He died for wounded people and shattered people. Now, Isaiah uses two illustrations to describe different types of hurting people. His first illustration is a bruised reed. A bruised reed, which is a picture of deeply damaged people. Somebody bruised, a bruised reed. Now, the word bruised comes from a Hebrew word meaning cracked or half broken. Cracked or half broken. So it says that he will not break an already cracked or broken reed. He will not finish the job. He will not come in and finish you off if you're struggling just to get by. This is a metaphor for a person who has been deeply hurt, devastated, broken, shattered in life. The Humpty Dumpties of life. And I got news for you. All of us are Humpty Dumpties. And you know how that poem goes. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but they forgot one king. Because there is one king who can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I want you to say his name with me, Jesus. Come on, say it again, Jesus. So this is a metaphor. He's drawing a picture for us. This is people who are hanging by a thread, almost gone under, barely putting one foot in front of the other. Life has dealt some heavy blows, some major hurts. And this person that used to have a skip in their step and a gleam in their eye and a smile on their face now gets up and doesn't want to get up. When it's morning time, they wish it was evening. And when it's evening, they wish it was morning because they're mourning. They're walking around with pains that can't seem to get fixed. Their soul is bruised. Their lives are bruised. And because of the pain in their life, they're reaching out to different things to satisfy or to numb the pain. Alcohol, drugs, relationship after relationship after relationship. Anything that can somehow numb or fix or anesthetize the pain. But there is no fix unless it is fixed by the one who made you in the first place. And that's the whole idea here. And we've all seen, he compares us to a bruised reed. We've all seen these bruised reeds, these reeds he's talking about. They're water plants, kind of, I think of cattails. And they come up out of the water. They thrive in ponds or lakes, and they get about 3 to 8 feet high, and they poke up out of that water. And because they're so thin, they're fragile. And the winds blow, and the waves hit these reeds. And when the wind blows, these reeds, because they're so tall and thin, they bend and they break and they get easily bruised. And so he's talking about the bruised reed. And he's comparing you and I to that reed. When the winds of trial come, the adversities of life beat against us. It so often bruises us. It hurts us. Somebody does us wrong and we're hurt inside. We're in an adversarial world. We're in a world of battle. The devil is the prince of this world. Anything he's the prince of, it's got to be bad. So he's comparing us to this reed that gets bent or snapped because they're so fragile and easily damaged. And he says people are exactly the same way. You may feel strong, you may feel invincible, but you are not. Have you been to a high school reunion lately? Did you see all the people, the former football stars, the former homecoming queens, all the people that had it all going on back then? Did you even recognize them when you saw them at the high school reunion? And you thought to yourself, what in the world happened to you? Let me tell you what happened to them. Life happened to them. Because life is hard. Life is tough. This world is not easy. Jesus assured us in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But fear not, I have overcome the world. Amen. So we're compared to a bruised reed, but really you could also use the illustration of a cracked jar of clay, because bruised means cracked or broken. And so you got to think of a cracked jar, a cracked piece of pottery, a once beautiful jar that was on display for all to see has now been damaged, and that's you and that's me. You look at the pictures of you and me when we were little bitty babies. Oh, so cute. And you look at some of them and go, what happened to him? What happened to her? I can answer it. Life is what happened. Life has dealt some hard blows. And this jar now is cracked. You, me, this jar is now cracked. It's damaged goods that nobody wants. This first illustration of a bruised reed or a cracked jar suggests that the damage is visible. You know, if I'm going through a pottery store, and I see a beautiful vase that I might want to buy, but if I look closely, then I see a crack on the outside, its value drops immediately. I may not even want it because now it's cracked. It's visible. When something is cracked, it's visible to the naked eye. And that's the idea here, that what has happened to this person that Isaiah is referring to, that Jesus died for, is no mystery. The various trials that have brought them to this place of being cracked or bruised or shattered are known. We know what happened to them. That divorce, loss of that job, that destructive drug habit, alcohol habit, whatever it was that got hold of their life, it's no mystery. We see the crack on the outside. Their outer life is visible to all, so it's known. But the second illustration uses a smoldering wick, points to the inward life of a person. This is what's going on inside them. It's not outside. It's not outer. You can't see it unless you know them real well. It's inward. It's pointing to a condition of their heart that might be hidden to most people around them. You know, you don't really know someone till you're around them all the time and live with them. Then you begin to see things, the outer folks, outer society does not see. You begin to see the inner woundings. You begin to see the inner pain. You begin to see, and that's what Isaiah is talking about. The smoldering wick is an inside thing. In this second illustration, Isaiah is pointing to burned out people. Burned out. When you're burned out, you can look great on the outside, but really be dying on the inside. We've all seen a candle that is burned down. It's just barely flickering. The slightest breeze would blow it out. And that's exactly what Isaiah has in mind, that Jesus Christ came to die for not only cracked jars that you can see on the outside, but for those who are dying on the inside and nobody knows it. A flame, the flame of zeal, the flame of first love, the flame of passion for God, for Jesus, that inner fire the Holy Spirit puts within us is now just barely a flicker. Life has happened. Things have happened. People have happened. Circumstances have happened. The Hebrew word for smoldering here means barely a flicker, burning feebly, almost extinguished. You're just barely, you got enough Holy Ghost power in you to barely get out of bed, barely get through a day. You're barely getting by because the fire is almost out. The bruised reed and the cracked pot are visible. The smoldering wick is unknown to most people because it's their inner life. Listen, it's the inner life, the hidden part of them that's in trouble. This person may have a great job, a nice car, wear the best clothes, carry a Neiman Marcus, or what I like to call needless markup credit card. They sport a million-dollar Hollywood smile more permanent than Mona Lisa's. You see them, they're always smiling. But on the inside, here's the truth, their inner fire, the zeal, the hope, the spiritual passion, their first love that once blazed brightly is now barely flickering. What has happened to you? Different things have extinguished the fire in me. I got offended. I got hurt. I got left behind. I was betrayed. My dreams didn't happen. My future did not unfold like I thought that it would. I thought God said this, but he didn't say this. He said that instead. And now I'm dealing with spiritual burnout. I just don't have the get up and go anymore that I used to have. Am I talking to anybody today? This is so important because you feel like you're holding your world up with a toothpick. Life doesn't have any meaning like it used to. The thrill is gone from your spiritual journey. You used to be in church every time the doors open, but let me tell you, if you could have been here and you're not, you should have been here. Now, why aren't you here? Listen, I'm not getting on to you, but let me get on to you. Let me tell you, has this happened to you? Has the fire gone out? Are you trying to hang on? Listen, there's a sanctuary full of people that have experienced the same thing. You ought to get here and rub shoulders with us. You say, well, there's just a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, come and help us not be hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite too. I mess up sometimes too. But come on and help us not be a hypocrite. But I understand your pain because it's hard to get going when the fire is out. It's hard to keep going when the fire is out. It's hard to be excited when you're not excited. It's hard to put on a show when you don't really feel the way people expect you to. Well, listen, we hypocrites here, we don't care if you don't put on a show. We want you to come and be real. We want you to come and be who you really are here.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
The Bible says about your inner life, your inner man, that part of you that is your soul, that part of you where the Spirit of God lives inside of you and lit that initial flame of first love and zeal in you, that inner man, the strength of your spiritual life is what props you up and carries you. If you go to the gym every day and you are ripped and muscular, and they could put you on a magazine cover. That is not what covers you and carries you. That is not your greatest strength. Your greatest strength is in the inside, because you can be mighty on the outside, but dying on the inside. Listen to the Bible. A healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when the spirit is crushed? What can you do when your spirit is crushed? Listen to this version. The spirit of a man, that inner part of you, can help you through sickness. But who can carry a broken spirit? In other words, if you're dying on the inside, you can't go through anything without it breaking you down. But if you're strong on the inside, you can go through anything, because the spirit inside of you will carry you. It will carry you. If you've got a healthy interior life, it will carry you through any and all trials. But if your interior life is not healthy and strong, anything can break you down. And usually the two conditions, bruised reed, smoldering wick, go together. Whatever it is that cracked the outer pot has also affected the candle within. Maybe in your own life, the winds of adversity have blown, the rains of hardship have fallen, a flood of trials is beating on your spiritual house, and you feel like today the flame inside of you is just barely a flicker. You're just trying to stay alive. You're just trying to stay alive, but you feel like you're going through the motions. You feel like you're just going through the, you know how to act in church. You know how to walk the walk and talk the talk. And so you get by without people really knowing that deeply inside of you, you're struggling. You may even be in a faith crisis. I talk to people fairly often who are in a faith crisis. They're questioning God. Where was he? Why did he let this happen? Where was God when this all went down in my life? And that flame is flickering. It's not blazing anymore. And they need to find a way. That's why Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, fan into a flame the gift of God that's within you. Fan it into a flame. Don't let, Timothy, the flame flicker, but fan it into a blaze again. Amen. Trouble happens to Christians all the time. Say, Pastor Jeff, you ought not confess that. Well, it's just the truth. You can confess all day that you're not going to suffer, but you're still going to suffer. Well, I don't receive that. Well, don't receive it. That's okay. You're still going to suffer, because we're in a suffering world. You say, well, if I just confess it, I won't. No, that's just not true at all. If Jesus told me I'm going to suffer, then brother, I'm going to suffer. Come on, everybody. Jesus said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Now, I've got good news today. The broken, bruised, and burned out of this world are the people Jesus came to die for and rise again from the dead. He came for you and me, because guess what? Truth be known, we've all been bruised. We've all been broken. We've all been shattered. We all need to be put back together. Come on, everybody. Is that you? That's me. Jesus didn't come to judge the world, condemn the world, destroy the weak and the fragile of this world. No, 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 that's not why he came. The prophet said, a bruised reed, when he encounters somebody bruised, he will not break them. When he encounters a smoldering wick, I'm just barely hanging on, Lord. I don't have what I used to have. I don't have that fire that I used to have. He will not snuff it out. His heart is to fix us, not nix us. Amen? Jesus won't crush or break the already bruised and broken. He will not shatter the already cracked jar. He's a healer. He's a restorer. He's a lover. He's a fixer. Come on, everybody. He's a deliverer. Jesus won't deepen your afflictions, worsen your trials, or multiply your sorrows. That is not what he's about. He brings healing, restoration, wholeness, and renewed hope. I read this week about Canadian pop star Justin Bieber. Couldn't believe it. I just saw a story on him. Justin's now turned to Christ. He's totally plugged into a great church. And he told his story. He said, on the outside, it looked like Justin had the world by the tail. That's what the story said. Fame, fortune, women, everything, before he was even 20. He had mega millions. Before he was even 20, he was on top of the world. Seemed to have it all. But the story goes on to say that Justin was a bruised reed, and nobody knew. He says he ultimately reached a dangerous place where he was descending, I'm quoting now his own words, "I was descending into a downward spiral of partying and drug abuse and found myself lost and confused, depressed and angry. I withdrew from those who cared about me and found it hard to even get out of bed in the morning." But then the article went on to say, he says, but in the end, it was only Jesus who could turn it all around. Now he says, even when the odds are against you, keep fighting because Jesus loves you. Now the prophet Isaiah not only mentions the character of Jesus, but the details of his ministry. I want you to listen to what Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do. It's good news. I want you to get ready to get blessed. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." This is the first verse Jesus ever quoted in his preaching ministry. The first Bible verse he ever quoted is this one I'm quoting to you. When he stood up in the synagogue, the beginning of his ministry, the first verse he quoted was this one about himself. "Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. My news, my message is to the suffering and afflicted. I came to comfort those broken in heart, announce liberty to captives," that means bound to sin, "to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell all who mourn that he is going to give beauty in the place of ashes, joy in the place of mourning, praise in the place of heaviness." That's praising ground right there, everybody. Come on. Look what Jesus is anointed to do. I got to read it again. He said, you know why I came? You know why the Spirit of God came upon me? Let me tell you why. Because the ashes, some of you, your life is nothing but a pile of ashes. He says, I'm going to give you beauty in the place of those ashes. What looks hopeless and dead and gone to the natural eye, I'm going to touch it and I'm going to take ashes and make something beautiful out of it. He said, I'm going to give joy in the place of mourning. And that word mourning means depression, oppression, down, your dark hour. It's when you can't see 2 feet in front of you. You're so blue, so depressed. He said, I came to replace that kind of mourning with my kind of joy. And then he said, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to make you a praiser. I'm going to make you, some of you, you can't get your hands up half mast. Let me tell you something. You better get them up because heaven's coming. And believe me, in heaven, they're going all the way up. Praise, I want you to say with me, praises of God. Praises of God. And look what he said. I'm going to give you a praising spirit in the place of a heavy spirit. Amen. How do you get rid of a heavy spirit? Just start praising God. Good thing about praise is you can praise him in the car. You can praise him in the bathroom. You can praise him at work. You can praise him walking down the street. You can praise him when you go to bed. You can praise him when you wake up. There's no place you can't praise God. You can praise God anywhere. And praise is powerful. Christianity is not just, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Oh please. Jesus didn't die on the cross to get you in a building once a week. Oh no, 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 no. It's way, way deeper than that. He died to pull you out of the pit of your sin, to deliver you from hell, to fill you with life. And it gets even better. He died and rose from the dead so that he would make you into the likeness of himself, that you would grow into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's why he died. It's not just going to a church once a week, coming into a building, but it is walking with him every day where he begins to replace ashes with beauty and mourning with joy and heaviness with praise. You're not who you used to be. This is the ministry of Jesus. He's not a destroyer, he's a healer. That's the message of the smoldering wick and the cracked jar. He's not a destroyer when he comes upon you and your damaged goods. He's a healer. He's not a condemner, he's an encourager. He didn't come to knock you down, he came to pick you up. Even when you can't work up the strength to look up, he will pick you up when you can't get up on your own. And when your inner fire is barely flickering, he's going to care for it, cherish it, feed it, and fan it into flame again. He's not going to come and say, well, you let it get this low, I'm just going to take you out. No, that's not Jesus. He said, I'm going to pick you back up. Can we thank God for that? I'm going to pick you back up.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.